Lecture topic, The Gauge of Taqwa.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. As many times we just repeat this background to the discussions in these programs, that this is a time when we generally read from the writings of our Kabir or their Malfuzat, their statements. So one is a bayan that takes place. The bayan also is their teachings. We have nothing else but their teachings that really are worthy of passing on. But one is their teachings in the gist of it, the crux of it, with some explanation. But the other is reading their actual words and then discussing it, translating it, explaining it. Their own words have their own noor as well. The impact and the benefit, sometimes we don't even understand the actual wordings of it, but that noor is different. So therefore this is the time that we sit and discuss some of these malfuzat. These malfuzat statements are actually excerpts from different talks, discourses, or even what was given just informally sometimes and was recorded. And many a times these malfuzat are a gist of an entire bayan. The details that were in an entire bayan are contained in these malfuzat. So Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we take these messages to heart. And the purpose again is our islah. Purpose is to correct ourselves, and that is the niyat with which we have to be listening. Which we have to be speaking and listening. Many a times the thought comes in the mind that, well, this doesn't seem to apply to me. This may be for somebody else. I'm fine. So in any case, the issue is that there is nothing that is not applicable to us. Maybe some things may not appear to apply to us now. The reality is that everything applies to all of us. The distribution can happen later. It's just going to disturb the whole madma. So in any case, the thing is that everything is for us. If anything is said with the niyat that it is for somebody else, that is a major loss to the person speaking. Hazrat Mawlana Salim Dora Sahib, Daam Barakatuhum of the UK, he once mentioned that Hazrat Hadi Farooq Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, some of us might have seen him when he used to come down to South Africa, passed away about maybe some 8-10 years ago now, a little bit more too. So he says once he mentioned something to him that after some bayan, some majlis, that he felt this was entirely for him. Something of that nature. So he said, Hazrat replied and said, there's no talk that I give that is for anybody else. I give it for myself. So now shaitan sometimes puts these thoughts in our mind. One is that this is for somebody else, not for me. But everything is for me. The other part of it is that to the extent that we will have that niyat that it is for me, then we will feel that this is a lesson for myself. And alhamdulillah, that's a very positive thing that a person feels it's for him. If a person genuinely feels it's for him, then that's very positive. Feels it doesn't apply to me, then that's a problem. We should be thinking that it applies to us. RAV4 CVs, rest of the number plate, somebody's vehicle is blocking. So everything is for us. And if a person feels that this was for me, then mashallah, that's a positive feeling. It's not because it was intended for anyone specifically. That is the effect of niyat and talab. But if the niyat is for somebody else, then a lot of things will get passed over like that. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq also, that everything must be said for myself, and each one of us have to have the same niyat, that everything is for me. That inshallah will become the means of taking the benefit of these words of our akabir and ahlullah. This will become a means of benefit for all of us. The title of this malfooz is Munkar se bachne ki targhib aur uski misal. The encouragement of staying away from vices, from disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And an example that highlights this. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, his entire theme in every talk was how to connect to Allah Ta'ala. And the manner of connecting to Allah Ta'ala is taqwa. The manner of connecting to Allah Ta'ala is taqwa. And this is the primary thing. No place has it come that a person who makes a lot of hajj, he'll get connected to Allah Ta'ala. Hajj is such a great ibadat. But hajj in itself hasn't been described as such, that this itself is a means of it. But the taqwa in the hajj will connect him to Allah Ta'ala. The fasting itself, the hadith sharif is described, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ. There's many a fasting person who gets nothing but hunger. He kept fast the whole day, it might have been a long summer's day, such a hot day, and all the qurbani and sacrifice that went in it. But the hadith sharif is saying that many a fasting person will still only get his hunger only. Meaning he got no benefit out of it. Why? Because that fast was not coupled with taqwa. He kept fast, but he's still making ghibat, still misusing his eyes, still doing things that are forbidden. So that fast, all the reward of it was drained. So the point is that every amal also, which in itself is extremely great, when it is coupled with taqwa, then it will bring its desired result. So the primary theme was always this. Hazrat Yusuf say it in his unique style, so, kuch kaam mat karo, bas ek kaam karo, Allah ko naraz mat karo. Don't do anything else, just do one thing only. Don't displease Allah Ta'ala. But in this one thing, everything came away. In this one line, volumes came away. So this is the message again here, then how to stay away from munkar, from things that Allah has forbidden, sins, disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Irshad farmaya, ke gunah ko Allah Ta'ala ne munkar farmaya. Sins have been described in the Quran Sharif, in various ahadith also, as munkar. So, many places, many ayat of the Quran Sharif, this is the description of sin, munkar. And munkar ka maana hai ajnabi, ghair ma'roof, jisse jaan pehchan na ho. Now the literal meaning of munkar is something that's strange. Something that is not, there's no familiarity with it. Something that a person finds to be a very strange thing is, like a stranger, you don't know the stranger, you don't know who's he, where he comes from, nothing about him. So the same word has been used for sin, munkar. Something that's like a stranger. Aur har nek amal kum ma'roof farmaya. And in many places in the Quran Sharif, good actions have been termed as ma'roof. Now ma'roof, sometimes now in Urdu also it's used, ye to bahut ma'roof aadmi, he's a well-known person. So the person who you're familiar with, person you know. So now this is the description in the Quran Sharif, that sins have been called munkar, and righteous actions have been termed as ma'roof. So, farmaya, nekiya tumhari jaan pehchan ki cheez hai. Jaan pehchan wale se wahshat aur ghabrahat nahi hoti. Aur ajnabi se wahshat hoti hai. So now, drawing the lesson from this, that good actions has been termed as ma'roof. In other words, this is naturally something that the heart is familiar with. The mu'min is naturally acquainted with this. Because that's part of his nature, that he'll be drawn towards righteousness. So when something is ma'roof, a person doesn't feel uneasy. Like a person is well known to, somebody is well known to him, that person comes along, he's quite comfortable. So any righteous deed, the nature of it is such that the person will never feel any kind of unease, any kind of distress, but afraid, feeling some turmoil, nothing. Because that's ma'ruf, that's the nature of ma'ruf. That's the nature of something that he's familiar with. Where he feels that uneasiness from something that's strange, from a stranger, he'll feel a bit hesitant, feel some kind of unease. That's from people who are strange to him. چنانچہ جب آدمی پہلی بار گناہ کرتا ہے تو پسینہ آ جاتا ہے اور سخت وحشت ہوتی ہے. Therefore you'll find Allah forbid a person committed some wrong, some sin, but this was the first occasion he fell into that. So he will be in a very major condition of distress. For that moment, whatever might have happened, but his whole mind and heart will then be upside down. He'll be in a state of turmoil. Why? Because this is like he got into contact with some totally strange person who was not any good for him. So he feels this complete distress. اور نیک اعمال کیونکہ معروف ہے, کوئی اجنبی چیز نہیں ہے, ان سے تمہاری جان پہچان ہے, لہذا نیک عمل کرنے سے کبھی وحشت نہیں ہوتی بلکہ اطمینان و خوشی حاصل ہوتی ہے. And many a times, person who was steeped in some sin, in some sinful life, he was far away from the masjid, never would put his foot in the masjid, never was anywhere close to any good company, whatever. And sometimes such a person came into the masjid or whatever good company by chance. He didn't even intend to get there. But that became the first time and the always time that he wanted to continue being in the house of Allah Ta'ala, being in the company of righteous. Now the first occasion that he got sometimes attracted, or he had an occasion of being in the right place, that grabbed at his heart in such a way that he never wanted to miss out again. Why? First time he committed that wrong, he was in a complete state of turmoil. But after a while, if he carries on indulging in that sin, then shaitan now numbs him to it. But on this side, the first time round, that grabbed his heart. So why? Because this is naturally something that his heart is inclined to. That his heart wants this nourishment. This is something that he needs. Now this is the lesson in all this, that ajnabi aur ghair munkar aur ghair ma'roof cheezon ke paas kyun jaate ho. اس لیے جن سے جان پہچان ہے ان کو اختیار کرو, اور منکر اجنبی اور غیر معروف چیزوں کے پاس کیوں جاتے ہو. This is the خلاصہ and this, the crux of it now, that when this is the reality, when sins are munkar, and munkar is going to create unease, so shaitan puts a deception that this will give me some excitement, some fun, but the reality is it's going to create unease. So, when this is the reality, we know the reality well enough that this munkar is going to create unease. It's going to cause distress. So why do we get into it? Now that's the part which has become the test of dunya. Because shaitan beautifies it. Shaitan will beautify anything in the eye of the person who he wants to try to trap. Even when there's no beauty in reality, but shaitan will make that look beautiful. Because that is his trap that he wants to now place in front of somebody. So even if there is a very, very ugly person too, but in the eyes of the person who shaitan wants to trap, he'll make it seem the opposite. But this is the part that's the test. That shaitan mesmerizes the whole thing, makes everything look very, very attractive. But once a person is on that end, then the turmoil starts. Then the heart is in this total unease, in this turmoil, and a person goes in that same chakkar now to try and overcome that, he gets into worse. So this is the message Hazrat is giving, that why get oneself into this? Dekhe dunyavi dolat mand, jiski jeb mein maal ho, uske paas agar koi ajnabi shakhs aa jaye, to ghabrata hai, ki kahi ye meri jeb na kaat le. To jab dunyavi dolat mand ajnabi ko paas nahi aane dete, to taajub hai jinke paas imaan ki dolat hai, wo kaise munkar ko paas aane dete. See, take the example of a person, a very wealthy person, he has the wealth of dunya. He's got the wealth of dunya in his pocket. He's carrying some big amount of cash, some valuables. Now he's going somewhere and some stranger came and started walking alongside him. He is going to be very, very uneasy. I wonder what's this person's problem? Why is he coming and walking? That person might just be innocently walking too. He's got no idea that this person is even here. But the fact that this person is sitting with a big amount of wealth with him, lot of cash in his pockets, whatever, this makes him very uneasy. Why? Because there's a stranger next to him. There's somebody who's an ajnabi, a munkar, so to say. So when this is the case with the wealth of dunya, Hazrat is saying, when the person has the wealth of iman, how come he's so casual about letting munkar come in his company? Meaning allowing vice, allowing some sin, allowing some disobedience of Allah Ta'ala to come along. He should be totally uneasy about this. Not wanting to have anything, any such munkar close to himself. So to protect the wealth of dunya, we are alert to this. This person, I don't know him, where he came from. Why is he here? But when it comes to the wealth of iman, then we are casual about it. Now if I'm listening to this now, it's okay, I'm watching something. Okay, I just came by the way. So it doesn't matter. Then it becomes very relaxed, very casual. But that is the stepping stone to what shaitan wants to take a person to. That's the first step. And when he becomes casual about it, then he's going to become casual about more. And then Allah forbid where it leads to. Lihada hoshyar ho jao, munkar se dur raho, warna iman ki daulat chhin jane ka khatra hai. Therefore, remain very alert and don't go anywhere near munkar, stay far away from munkar. Otherwise, the fear is that this could eventually someday lead to a person's iman getting in danger, his iman getting lost. Ji. Another malfooz here titled as Burai ka thermometer or nafs ka ek ajeeb ilaj. The thermometer of what is wrong. In other words, thermometer, an instrument to measure something. The thermometer measures the fever of a person. What is his temperature? It measures the temperature. So something to measure that is this action in order or not. Some gauge. So what is going to be the gauge that will tell a person, is this in order or not in order? Now this doesn't mean that if, for example, somebody's gauge is not working. Somebody, for example, a scale is a gauge also. Scale gives him his weight. But now somebody's scale is not working. So now the scale is reading 20 kilos under the reality. So mashallah, he's standing on it, he's even maybe reading 100 kilos under. So he says, I am super fit, everything is fine. He's standing on it and he's telling him 50 kilos. But meanwhile, he's 150. So if that scale is not working, he's not working. Obviously, that doesn't mean now that because that scale is telling him 50, he's going to believe it. It's not working, he has to use a scale that's working. So likewise, there's a gauge in a mu'min. But if he has sort of put it into disrepair, then he must first repair it. He must first sort it out. If that gauge is not working, the scale is not working, first get it repaired. Now when you stand on it, then you will see now that he is showing something else completely. Now he's giving a different figure. So likewise, the mu'min who is conducting himself correctly, which Allah Ta'ala in one ayat of the Quran Sharif says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. The one who fears Allah Ta'ala, who adopts taqwa, and taqwa doesn't mean that a person can never ever fall into any sin, because besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody else is ma'soom, sinless. The sahaba ikram, the very great awliya of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala grants them special protection, but the rest of insana insan. And taqwa means that a person never ever persists on any sin. In other words, simply, like the child falls down, but never remains lying there, he'll wake up, parents will pick him up, whatever the case is, but the point is he won't remain lying, any person for that matter, fall somewhere, not going to remain lying in that gutter. Wake up immediately, clean himself and move on. That's taqwa. That Allah forbid, number one, a person doesn't premeditate sin, doesn't plan, plot and plan sin. Allah forbid he slipped somewhere, he'll immediately go and wash himself, make sincere tawbah, wash his heart with the tears of repentance, turn to Allah Ta'ala sincerely, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and this person is muttaqi, and in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon, he's also among the friends of Allah Ta'ala. If he's staying muttaqi, then he's among the friends of Allah Ta'ala. So now the point is that if a person is walking the path of taqwa, so Allah Ta'ala promises, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. One who fears Allah Ta'ala and is walking the path of taqwa, Allah Ta'ala grants him furqan. It's translated as criterion. What it means is that distinguishing ability between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood, between sin and righteousness. What is sin? What is right? His heart will testify. And many a time, some people are unable to express why something is wrong. But the taqwa of their hearts is of that level that it makes them feel very uneasy about something. Now that is the criterion. And then it turns out later that they will explain also why it's wrong. But at that point in time, they couldn't explain it. So now this is the message here, that what is the gauge to judge that is this something right or wrong, especially in the times that we are in. Sometimes there's a lot of confusion about things. The confusion is what we want to make of it. Confusion is when a person doesn't know whether he must turn left or right, or take a U-turn from here and run from it, what he must do. And he doesn't know what to do. So now there's a confusion. But that confusion is our own doing only. That confusion is purely our own doing. When a person has to undertake something, whatever, it might be involving some legal matter. Now, either if he's going to do it right, then it's fine. Or if he's going to go in a direction that's not in order, he might get into trouble with the law. Because whatever he did, now this probably violated some bylaw, violated some other. So as a result now, maybe if it was a building, he didn't put it according to the bylaws. So now he'll get into trouble with that matter. There might be some fine. Might make him break it down. So now there's a problem. Now he decided to open some book, reading. But now nowadays everybody's Googling something. So now something came up. If you do it like this, it'll be fine. You do it in some other way, this particular way, you'll be in a problem. Then suddenly some other article is there. Now this too is okay, not a problem. Now that doing it in the other second way is what suits him. But somebody is saying it's fine. Somebody else is saying, no, this is not in order. So what does he do? Does he go by deciding now on his own? That, well, I Googled it, two different views came up. So now let's spin a coin and see which one works. Who decided to make a decision on some legal matter by spinning a coin, but because there's different views in it? Or he decided, just take a chance now, anyone. Or now there's some other medical issue. So now, okay, he spun a coin and decided now. One doctor is saying, do it this way. One is saying, do it another way. How many times there are major decisions people need to make. Some person telling him, you have to have this operation done, otherwise you are a walking time bomb. The actual words, walking time bomb. Only thing they can't tell him is that what's the time duration that has been fixed on this time bomb, because every single human being is a walking time bomb in that sense. No human being is not a walking time bomb. In the sense that everybody has got expiry date in terms of dunya. But then the akhirat, that's everlasting. So in any case, what is meant obviously is that you are now, you got, as they say, you are on borrowed time. There's no such thing as borrowing anybody else's time. Everybody got his own time. But now it means that it seems like you are, if you don't do this operation, it could be a matter of days, maybe weeks, and that might be it. Your moth will come. Nobody can predict moth when it will come. Many a person told somebody, you won't survive 10 days. That person survived long enough to attend the person's funeral who told him that. So the point is that it now is a major decision people have to take, and somebody is telling you you're a walking time bomb, and he decides to take a second opinion, there's no need to do this operation. And both are extremely highly qualified in that field. One is telling him you're a time bomb, and the other is saying there's no need for the operation. So what is he going to do? So he said, okay, do half the operation. Maybe please everybody. Can't do that, obviously. So now he decides that who he's going to have confidence in this matter. There's no confusion. The confusion is if he decides to take the decision upon himself. He puts the decision in the hands of the person he has confidence in. He's got confidence in this particular person, this specialist, this physician, whoever. Or he'll come back to his GP maybe. That, look, you sent me first place and second place, now what should I do? You tell him, look, you do this. So if he has a confidence in him, he'll place his trust in his decision. Where's the confusion? He's got his decision. Confusion is where he's still unsure what he must do. But when he placed his confidence in somebody, he got his direction. He's got no confusion. So if a person has somebody who he has placed his confidence in, and then he takes a direction from there, there's no confusion left. So the excuse about confusion is actually, the excuse is not valid in any way, because what it actually says is, I'm not prepared to trust anybody. So I'll trust myself only. I don't have confidence in anyone, I have confidence in myself only. Because I'll have to decide now, from all the different specialists and physicians, that now one person is saying you have a walking time bomb, and the other person is saying you don't need, these are real life situations, not hypothetical. Likewise in business decisions sometimes, person has to make some decision about whatever it might be, so some consultant told him, oh, you do it like this. Somebody else told him that something is wrong with you, you do it like that. So now who's wrong, Allah knows. So the confusion is, we have opted of how we want to deal with things, that we will deal it as per our discretion, our decision, we'll think about it. We're not a specialist in the field to start off with. Forget being a specialist in the field, we don't have the basic knowledge of that field. You want to decide now in a medical matter, in a legal issue. The medical matter and the legal issue, if that we make a wrong decision there, we decided to take a chance, spin a coin, whatever, the worst that can happen is, we'll end up in some trouble with the law, maybe we'll get some fine, we'll get some problem there medically. What else is going to happen worse than that? Maybe a person might lose his life, but he won't lose his akhirat based on that. That alone won't be a reason for losing his akhirat. But Allah forbid, take chances in deen, then that could affect our akhirat. So the loss of taking chances in deen, the loss of dunya can't compare to that. So therefore, when we don't get confused in dunya because we take direction, why do we allow ourselves to be confused in deen? But then we have decided what's our direction, where we have the confidence, then quietly carry on. Quietly carry on. We are not experts to come and give our view in the matter that doesn't, is not our field. We are not legal professionals. So now we'll take the direction from the person we have the confidence. Now we're not going to come give our view in legal circles or in medical issues. We start giving our view. If now physicians are discussing something, we got our 5 cents also to put into it. Says, what basis you have to come and give this view in this circle, what your credentials are? When it comes to deen and deeny matters, then apart from whether we decide to even take somebody's direction, somebody as a guide, somebody whose fatwa we will now have confidence in and take the one person only, but we will have our own view about the views of physicians in the field. We'll have our analysis, we'll have our whole, whatever, summary of it. That's not in order. We take the direction after having decided who we have confidence in, based on the person's, to the extent that we can see the person's knowledge in the light of what people of knowledge, their view of him, the people in general, people of knowledge, what kind of maqam and position they hold him in, that he's a person of very high knowledge and caliber. On, to the extent we can understand, and the light of the pious people of the time, what do they regard this person as? Is a person of piety, is a person of taqwa, is a person that's adherent to the sunnah. By and large, this is the way that people of piety, of knowledge view him. And we then have confidence in him as we carry on. There's no need for any other issue. But when we now decide to also come into the whole matter ourselves, we're going to get confused. So this is the message here, that now what is this gauge? This is the malfuz here. What is this gauge that will tell a person that this is in order or not? As mentioned, first and foremost, it is necessary that the gauge is working. And the gauge will work if a person is on the path of taqwa. Otherwise, that scale is always going to say everything is fine. That thermometer will say, your temperature is perfect. You're not working. It's now on the verge of bringing to a stroke. Temperature has gone so high. So just have some, maybe it collapses just now. But the gauge is saying nothing wrong. Why? Because it's not working. So when the gauge is out of action, out of order, say everything is fine. Everything is okay. Everything goes. And there'll be some reason for everything. Whether that reason makes sense or not, that's not the issue. So the gauge must be working. If our gauge is not working, then ask somebody whose gauge is working then. So in any case, this is the gauge now. Irshad farmaya ki kaise maloom ho ki kaun sa kaam achha hai aur kaun sa kaam bura hai. How will it be known that what is right and what is wrong? What is good? What is bad? Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne iska ek aisa thermometer ata farmaya ki agar aapko ye maloom bhi na ho ki kaam guna hai ya nahi, to is thermometer par jaanchne se khud maloom ho jayega ki kaam sahi hai ya nahi. He says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us such a thermometer, such a gauge, that if a person doesn't know for sure that is this a sin or not, this thermometer will tell him. This gauge will tell him. Unless now he has really destroyed it, but otherwise his gauge is there. What is the gauge? Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam irshad farmate hai, al-ithmu ma haaka fi sadrik. Al-ithmu ma haaka fi sadrik. Sin is what troubles your heart. Sin is what causes some agitation in the heart. So now a person is doing something, but there is some unease. Now why is the unease there then? Something wrong with it. Why is he feeling the unease? Because something's not right. If a person decided now, it wasn't even something that was his normal routine, decided now I'm feeling some inclination to sit down and make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So he took the Quran Sharif and he sat down and started making tilawat. Will there be any degree of unease? Maybe Allah forbid the person never touched the Quran Sharif for months. Now whatever became the catalyst, alhamdulillah, so he decided to take the Quran Sharif. He'll be feeling so comfortable within himself and feeling so grateful, alhamdulillah. After 6 months, but alhamdulillah, today I held the Quran Sharif. Not an iota of any unease. And if the other way around, now this too, he's sitting and reciting, he's reading something, but he picked up some wrong material. He's around with his phone and he's reading something that is wrong, sinful. But now he's also just double checking, nobody's around. He's uneasy, looking up behind his shoulder. So why is there some unease? Because something inside is telling what you're up to. How can you go about this? What's wrong with you? Why are you reading this? But now unfortunately what happens is, when a person carries on and on and on and on, then sometimes this dies off. Especially when haya has been completely lost. Haya has been completely lost, then his reaction is, let people say what they want to say. Let people say what they want to say. Allah is my judge. Now these kind of things are being, meaning the worst kind of sins are sometimes being committed. And some excuse for oneself is this, Allah is my judge. Yes, Allah has already judged this. That this is a sin. These are not things that are generally, in fact, still wondering whether it should be even mentioned. But somebody, just to maybe put it in simple terms, blatantly living in zina. Like people in the Western world carry on living, blatantly living in zina, and carrying on like husband and wife. And when people are trying to explain, what's going on here? How can you carry on like this? Allah is my judge. No, you keep quiet. Allah has already judged this as a terrible sin. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. So you're going to be told you are in a serious problem. You are in a very, very major violation of Allah's command. What you're committing is the height of immorality. It'll be told to you directly. Allah is the judge, because Allah has judged it already. Yes, what's going to happen in the akhirat, Allah alone knows. What's tomorrow, that person may get the tawfiq of genuine tawbah, sincerely repent, Allah forgives him. That matter of the akhirat, we can't make any call on. But in dunya, we'll make the call. That if something Allah has declared haram, we'll have to say it's haram. If Allah Ta'ala has condemned something, we'll also have to condemn it. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has condemned something, we'll have to condemn it. That is the judgment of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that this person, what will happen to him on the day of Qiyamah, we can't get into that part of it. We don't know. We don't know our own end and what's going to be our condition on the day of Qiyamah or anybody else's condition. But the action is clear, we'll have to say it. So in any case, this is what now Hazrat is explaining to us here, that this gauge, Allah has blessed a mu'min. Unless he's now totally destroyed it. That there'll be unease. Now that unease will tell him something's not right here. If he has little bit consciousness, that'll make him hold back now. But why I'm feeling uneasy about this? Something's not right. So this is the first part of the gauge. Guna wo hai, jisse tumhare dil mein khatak paida ho jaye. Ke na maalum ye kya hai. Wrong is that which creates this unease in the heart. It creates this question in the heart, but is it okay? That itself is a sign something not okay with it. And aur dusri alamat ye bayan farmayi, wa karihta ay yattali'a alayhi an-nas. And you dislike that people should know about it. Somebody must find out. Now that's why looking over his shoulder to see anybody around or not. That's why he's hiding it behind passwords. That's why he's now closing curtains and locking doors For what? So that nobody must get to know what I'm up to. So that itself is a clear sign that why nobody must know. So it's a sign. It's a sign for a person to now surround him, double check. And after that sign too, he's still in doubt, he should double check with somebody. That is his right to do. So the point is that this is a gauge that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, that look, don't, another, like anything else, when a person uses this gauge correctly, and he's using it, then it will become even more of a benefit to him. Many things, if he just lying somewhere, mashallah, it's a wonderful instrument of some sort, it's lying, and for a long time it hasn't been used, it starts catching rust, so all the grime will come upon it, and it'll be sticky, and hard to even press the buttons right. The battery might have already, whatever might have happened inside, battery leaked because it wasn't working, it wasn't being used for so long. But it's being used, so now that becomes a problem. It's not giving the right reading now. It's not even working. But when it's used all the time, it's giving more accurate readings. Maybe in instruments out there, that might not be the case, but that's the reality of this instrument inside the heart. That the more it's used, meaning a person then abides by that reading. That is giving him the reading that there's a problem here. Then the more he abides by that, the more sharper it'll get. The more it will give him a quicker reading. Everybody's perception is not the same. Somebody's perception is very sharp. And somebody will take him a very long time to perceive the same thing. So now the more he uses this, it gave him a reading, something's wrong here, so he held back. The next time he'll perceive it even quicker, even deeper. So the point is that this is a great ni'mat and bounty from Allah Ta'ala. And this is the benefit of taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. As this person, and the more a person, like for example, what is often explained in detail, the effects of sin, the greater involvement in sin, the bigger the impact, or the greater the impact on a person's thinking also. It starts stunting his thinking. And people of greater taqwa, the understanding gets sharper. Their perceptions get sharper. Then, now obviously beyond that also, Allah Ta'ala has blessed people with levels of intelligence. But on a general level, the person of taqwa will understand things far more easily, far quicker. Now then, after people, mashallah, all of taqwa, somebody might still be on a much higher level. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, once, there was one question that came up suddenly. Get all kinds of people in dunya. Now, sometimes they don't know what probably hal they get into. They say some ajib, ajib things. So one person now, something happened, he got upset with his wife. Told her, you don't cook such a meal for me that you put in, now he used the word in Arabic, makuk. Now, makuk amounts to like one and a half sa. In our understanding now, just for our understanding, about 3 kilos or 4 kilos it works out to, 4 kilos of salt. And when I eat it, I mustn't taste the salt at all. If you don't do that, 3 talaqs. Now, in that, whatever his hal, because this might have been a real ajib hal, so in that hal of his, he became behal. So now, what a kind of thing. Number one, she doesn't cook it, then do the talaq will fall, because now he probably gave some, today I must eat this. And if she cooks it and puts, forget, 4 kilos of salt, even just more than the normal amount of salt, the normal salt is going to taste it. Now, and now he's, the regret comes. What did I do now? He's scratching his head. That if this, he maybe said it, I don't know now how the whole incident went. Maybe he said for supper. So now that supper has to come today. And the supper has to come with a couple of kilos salt in it. And the salt must not be tasted. Now, how are you going to reconcile this? How are you going to save that talaq from falling? You're not one, 3 talaqs. So started running helter-skelter now. This is the drama we create for ourselves. Based on what? Either uncontrolled anger, ego, or other things of this nature, maladies of the heart, primarily these things, I should not be told anything by anybody. Somebody decided to tell me, I'll then say something which doesn't make any sense. And I'll do things that don't make any sense. Why? Because who are you to tell me what to do? Since you told me this, I'll make sure I do the opposite. But the opposite will be such a disaster, but I'll do it. Out of what? Out of the ego. Somebody explained to me nicely, look what you are heading towards. This you shouldn't do it. Don't do this. Do it that way. Why you told me to do it, I must do it. So the ego, the uncontrolled anger, and uncontrolled anger also is an offshoot of takabbur. It stems from pride. And that outbursts. Anger is part of insan, insan's tabiat. It's human nature to get angry. And there's a place for anger also. But there's a manner of even expressing something when the anger is valid. When the anger is valid, then things have to be now ghadab fillah, that's to be expressed. So you'll find in the ahadith mention about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam becoming upset because it was required at that time. But there is no way in any hadith that we can find, we have heard of, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started screaming, shouting at the top of his voice. He raised his voice at times, but that was in a khutbah. Ala sawtuhu ihmarra wajhuhu wa ala sawtuhu. His face became red, his voice got raised, but in the manner of now warning about something. And there were other times when he saw something happen, his face became red and he remained silent, because that was sufficient to say, well, something wrong here. And everybody took note and they corrected the wrong. And there were times when he said it also. But when he said it, it was said in a dignified manner. No shouting and screaming, making a spectacle of oneself, and whatever else. And many a times, this is something that keeps coming up. So therefore, it has been discussed many times. And the purpose of these gatherings is what, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for us. How many times there are young people that now come with some issues, youngsters, sometimes people in their teens, younger, and they are scarred by their parents' fights. Deep scars. Because they are continuously exposed to the dramas. Because those parents don't even have that amount of sabr, that now we'll fight over it, no problem. Prepare for it, it'll be a good fight, but out of sight of the children. You don't have the sabr. The child has to now be exposed to it, let it be. But I need to get my point now. And I need to have the upper hand now. Now this all stems from this ego, or this takabbur, whatever else. Allah forbid, Allah save us. So we need to be conscious of these realities. We are harming our own children. And sometimes these things run very deep. Now that person is, so many times this kind of correspondence comes, that now I'm constantly fighting off suicidal thoughts. So person is understanding this is shaitan now. So that I'm constantly fighting off suicidal thoughts. But stemming from where, I can't handle this anymore. All the time I'm exposed to this. So, we went away from the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, we're talking about now the intelligence. Allah blesses people. So this incident about now this person took this, he suspended this talaq. If you don't cook that supper today, and you don't cook it with that 5 kilo salt in it, and when I eat it, I mustn't taste the salt, then 3 talaqs. Now he's scratching his head there, what did I do? So now sometimes, we scratch our head, we scratch it right through, but we won't get any solution because the damage is so deep. So don't think beforehand. Stop, think carefully. So in any case, now he's running around, and whoever he's talking to, the scholars of the time, See, we can't even think what we can do to save your, the talaq from falling. How are you going to get this done? How is this going to be possible? In any case, he came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, after having gone through so many in his helter-skelter, as soon as he asked, he barely just even presented it. It's very simple. Now, if we are asked now, it's very simple. He said, but how can it be simple? It's such a complicated situation. And he, off the cuff, he said, such a simple thing. How can it be so simple? He says, well, that pot, now you have to cook something. Put an egg inside. And then pour that 5 kilo salt on it. Basically, cook the egg in the shell, the boiled egg as we call it. Then take it out. It'll be cooked by that time. Now you crack that shell and have that egg, you won't find even a tinge of that salt in it. So that egg got cooked also, that 5 kilo salt was added in that whole thing, in order to tinge of the taste as well. Now that is, subhanAllah, but at the same time, the other part of him was that he had an agent, he was engaged full in his khidmat of deen, but he had agents doing some trade on his behalf. So a whole consignment had come, and there was some fault in it. So he told the person, look, there is this fault here. Make sure you inform the customer that there's some defect. That person forgot, and a huge consignment all got sold. And now every so often, they would now discuss whatever the matters are. You told the customers about it. He said, the whole thing got sold now. Alhamdulillah. See, you told the customers about the defect. Inna lillahi, I forgot. Forgot? Who came? Where the person is from? Don't even know 99% of the people that might have bought that item. So number one, we can't do business anymore. If you are not careful about something so important, we can't do business anymore. Our relationship in this business matter is over. Number two, now one is, what was the consignment? What was the capital that was put into it? Capital was a certain amount. What is the profit? Okay, give all the profit. He said, not even the profit. The entire amount, including the capital. We won't keep 1 cent of it. Give everything away in sadaqah. Now that level of taqwa, he once while walking, he ended up some mud or whatever. Something came on his shoe, so he decided to sort of shake it off. But in shaking it off, now houses were all alongside the narrow roads. So it went onto the wall, the mud wall of some house there. So the mud wall is a mud wall. You try to clean it up, some amount of that, little bit of that will get scraped as well. Because it's mud. So he wants to, number one, somebody else's wall. I did something which soiled the wall. So I have to clean it also. So now the one side I have to clean it. But the dilemma is, in cleaning it, I'm going to scrape some minute amount of the mud of his wall. So now, how do I get this done? On the one side, I must clean it, my responsibility, or at least tell him that I did this, and then he forgives me for it, fine, I'll carry on. Or then if I can't clean it now, what am I going to do about it? I have to tell him. It happened that that person was Yahudi, perhaps it was mentioned, and he was owing Imam Abu Hanifa a fair amount of money. In any case, he knocked on the door, and that was overdue long time. This person opened the door, he saw Imam Sahib there, and he thought that he came to now ask for the money that's owed to him. So he already started making some excuse now, and already started giving some reason for the delay in payment. You know, I haven't come for that. I've got a problem here. What's the problem? That this, I soiled your wall. If I clean it, I'm going to end up scraping some part of the, even a very minute quantity. And if I leave it there, that's wrong. So now I came to ask you, look, I need to clean it, but some part of it might get scraped off, so please can I go ahead and do it? The person said, look, before you scrape that out, I'm saying it in my words now, just expressing the sentiment, first scrape the kufr and shirk out of my heart, give me iman. First teach me this deen. That brings a person to come and do something like this. And be this conscious. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. and a person has this level of taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala enlightens him as well in that manner. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that now every person who has taqwa will always have that level of intelligence also. But Allah Ta'ala enlightens the mind, sharpens a person's thinking. He can then sometimes get to the solution to where others, their mind didn't go. But this is the benefit of the taqwa. So again, this is the point that is being stated here, that this gauge that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us, to always use this gauge. And use it meaning that the person now will use it by following the direction he's giving him. If he's creating some unease, hold back. No, I need to stop. This is a very, very effective gauge which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. Al-ithmu ma haqa fi sadrik. Sin is that which creates some agitation in the heart, some unease. And wa karihta yattali' alayhi an-nas, and you dislike that people should get to know about it, then it means then don't go forward. Take a back step. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.